This is The White Stocking, a short story written by D.H. Lawrence and read for you by Paul Metcalf.
The White Stocking. "I'm getting up, Tiddlywinks," said Mrs. Whiston as she sprang out of bed briskly.
"What the Hanover's got you?" asked Whiston.
"Nothing. Can't I get up?" she replied animatedly. It was about 7 o'clock, scarcely light yet in the cold bedroom. Whiston lay still and looked at his wife. She was a pretty little thing, with her fleecy short black hair all tousled. He watched her as she dressed quickly, flicking her small, delightful limbs, throwing her clothes about her. Her slovenliness and untidiness did not trouble him. When she picked up the edge of her petticoat, ripped off a torn string of white lace, and flung it on the dressing-table, her careless abandon made his spirit glow. She stood before the mirror and roughly scrambled together her profuse little mane of hair. He watched the quickness and softness of her young shoulders calmly, like a husband, and appreciatively. "Rise up," she cried, turning to him with a quick wave of her arm, "and shine forth!" They'd been married 2 years, but still, when she'd gone out of the room, he felt as if all his light and warmth were taken away. He became aware of the raw, cold morning. So he rose himself, wondering casually what had roused her so early. Usually she lay in bed as late as she could. Whiston fastened a belt round his loins and went downstairs in shirt and trousers. He heard her singing in her snatchy fashion. The stairs creaked under his weight. He passed down the narrow little passage, which she called a hall, of the 7 and 6 penny house which was his first home. He was a shapely young fellow of about 28, sleepy now and easy with well-being. He heard the water drumming into the kettle, and she began to whistle. He loved the quick way she dodged the supper cups under the tap to wash them for breakfast. She looked an untidy minx, but she was quick and handy enough. "Tiddlywinks," she cried.
"What?"
"Light a fire, quick." She wore an old sack-like dressing jacket of black silk pinned across her breast, but one of the sleeves, coming unfastened, showed some delightful pink upper arm.
"Why don't you sew your sleeve up?" he said,
suffering from the sight of the exposed, soft flesh.
"Where?"
she cried, peering round.
"Nuisance,"
she said, seeing the gap, then with light fingers went on drying the cuffs. The kitchen was of fair size, but gloomy. Whiston poked out the dead ashes. Suddenly a thud was heard at the door down the passage.
"I'll go,"
cried Mrs. Whiston, and she was gone down the hall. The postman was a ruddy-faced man who'd been a soldier. He smiled broadly, handing her some packages.
"They've not forgotten you,"
he said impudently.
"No,
lucky for them," she said, with a toss of the head, but she was interested only in her envelopes this morning. The postman waited inquisitively, smiling in an ingratiating fashion. She slowly, abstractly, as if she didn't know anyone was there, closed the door in his face, continuing to look at the addresses on her letters. She tore open the thin envelope. There was a long, hideous cartoon Valentine. She smiled briefly and dropped it on the floor. Struggling with the string of a packet, she opened a white cardboard box, and there lay a white silk handkerchief, packed neatly under the paper lace of the box, and her initial, worked in heliotrope, fully displayed. She smiled pleasantly and gently put the box aside. The third envelope contained another white packet, apparently a cotton handkerchief neatly folded. She shook it out. It was a long white stocking, but there was a little weight in the toe. Quickly, she thrust down her arm, wriggling her fingers into the toe of the stocking and brought out a small box. She peeped inside the box, then hastily opened a door on her left hand and went into the little cold sitting-room. She had her lower lip caught earnestly between her teeth. With a little flash of triumph, she lifted a pair of pearl earrings from the small box and she went to the mirror. There, earnestly, she began to hook them through her ears, looking at herself sideways in the glass. Curiously concentrated and intent she seemed, as she fingered the lobes of her ears, her head bent on one side. Then the pearl earrings dangled under her rosy small ears. She shook her head sharply to see the swing of the drops. They went to chill against her neck, in little sharp touches. Then she stood still to look at herself, bridling her head in the dignified fashion. Then she simpered at herself, catching her own
Sample complete. Ready to continue?